An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean, read by the author. Chapter 4. Fetching Pan's Air. Belle ignored her fatigue as she flew. Little Jack and Sinkaraz would be out tonight, hunting the same game as she. Belle had to get there first. Fortunately, the more distance she put between her and the Neverland's ravaged shores, the more energy she had. She didn't allow her mind to travel the road of what would happen to her if the Neverland drew its last breath. Dropping through a layer of clouds, she saw Seattle's world-renowned landmark stretching toward her, the Space Needle. Good. That meant she was close. From here, she angled northeast, following the siren shrieking toward Pill Hill. Now, slightly to the west, until she spotted a shabby, gray, flat-roofed building squeezed between grand old Victorian-era houses. She sped toward a lit second-story window and peered inside. A frumpy, middle-aged woman sat at her dressing table, squinting in the mirror as she rolled ugly, pokey-looking curlers into her hair. Wrong window. This must be the foster mother's room. Belle fluffed her own short, strawberry-blonde hair, grateful she didn't have to go through any such torture to make herself beautiful. Not that she didn't have her own beauty tricks. She zoomed over the roof and dropped to a dimmer window on the other side. Landing on the corner of the windowsill, she peeked in. A whole gaggle of girls. This must be the place. But her pan sensor didn't pulse. Belle flew around the house to a high window, angled open a crack. Ah, definite pan sensor activity here. She squeezed in, heaving herself up to perch on top of a light fixture. She cursed with the effort. This was why she didn't let anyone call her Tink. It wasn't seemly for an aging, make that middle-aged, fairy. Belle eyed the child on the bathroom floor below. Sitting cross-legged, the girl clutched her belly with one arm while half-heartedly scrubbing the tile floor with a toothbrush. Tears coursed down the girl's cheeks. She was silent, but her shoulders shuddered with repressed sobs. The kid was pitiful-looking. She wore blue jeans, worn and patched at the knees. Her too big sweatshirt belonged in a rag bag instead of on the girl's skinny upper frame. Holes crowned her two small high-top tennis shoes, allowing white-socked big toes to pop out and breathe. A swollen black and blue eye and a grim expression completed the picture. She didn't look anything like Peter. Belle felt relieved. The girl's hair, while short, was dark and straight, not auburn and wavy. Poking out in all directions, it was even scruffier than Peter's had been. Belle leaned the other way, cantilevering herself over the light fixture to see the girl's other eye. When she saw it, she froze. The round green eye, rimmed in wet, dark lashes, could have been Peter's own. Belle had only seen Peter cry once. She shuddered at the memory. It had been over that ratty girl, Wendy. But looking at the green eye below, dripping tears onto the girl's olive-toned cheeks, Belle's heart hollowed with pain. She didn't need her pan sensor. She knew, just from the pain in her heart, that this was Peter's granddaughter. Belle felt as if the air had been squeezed out of her. This was it. Time to face her doom. She'd found Peter's heir, and the girl was a sniveling, useless mess. Pip gripped her stomach, hoping the pressure would suffocate her sobs. She'd tried to keep from crying. She'd taken Fitch's blows without a sound. She hadn't so much as twitched when the old bag tore off her backpack, red velour sword sheath still attached, and locked it in the cupboard under the stairs. She'd almost managed to keep her face a careful blank while being dragged up the stairs by her ear and marched past the girls' dorm room. She'd known without looking that they were all staring, trying to catch a glimpse of the newest girl getting what was coming to her. She knew they wanted nothing more than to hear her cry out to prove they were right about her. She hadn't given them the satisfaction. Fitch had thrown her to the tile floor in the institutional bathroom, shoved a worn-out toothbrush into one hand, a can of Comet cleanser and a rag into the other. "You aren't coming out until I say it's clean enough," the foster mother crowed. "Let's see if you still have the energy to run away after you've cleaned all the toilets, all the sinks, and the whole floor." She'd slammed the door, but stuck her ugly face back in for a parting shot. "I bet your parents were as good for nothing as you are. Their drug lord probably killed them when they didn't pay up." The shock of the insult slid past her defenses, and Pip felt the blood drain from her face. Fitch smirked with pleasure and slammed the door again. The sound of the skeleton key locking the bathroom door echoed in the bare room. The metallic ping and click seemed very loud and very final. Piper finally let her world crumple, safe as she was from observers. Tears coursed hot on her cheeks and her gut twisted with pain, but these were nothing compared to the cloud of hopelessness ballooning over her. It felt like a dark shape pressing down, squeezing out anything good, leaving only black despair in its wake. Yes, she'd been pulled off of high places many times. Each time she'd positioned herself to fly off to the Neverland, but she'd always held back. Before tonight, that is. It hadn't been only Pudge's challenge that sent her to University Bridge's rail tonight. Today was the 5th anniversary of her parents' disappearance. Today was her 11th birthday. Her mother had always told her that the number 11 was magic. She'd waited to really try to fly until tonight, believing that the magic of 11 would carry her skyward like pixie dust. So tonight, she'd really tried. The hopelessness that enveloped her now was not because the bug and the cyclist had kept her from flight. She'd known, in that long moment when her body tipped toward the water below, that when her feet left the rail, she would go nowhere but down. The glowing bug and the cyclist had saved her life. The trouble was, she couldn't imagine anything worth saving it for. Not now that she knew she could never, ever fly to the Neverland. She could never save her parents. She would never see them again. A new flood of tears slicked her cheeks, and she worked desperately to swallow her sobs. Her mind flicked back to that long moment of shifting balance, of leaning over her toes and beginning to let go. But this time, her mind tracked the edges of her vision. She saw the glowing orb, in slow motion, journey toward her face. The shroud of fog both softened and intensified its light. She felt wings first brush against her cheek, then vibrate past her nose. Instead of the focus she'd actually had at the time of the parents she wanted to reach, the vision of memory brought her a clear image of the bright flying being. It seemed to be a tiny man wearing a dark tailored suit. He had brown hair, a sweet smile, and translucent wings the same golden color as the crown on his head. Pip gulped, tears colliding in surprise with a hiccup. Eyes wide open but unseeing, she replayed the memory again. This time she added sound. There was the low thrum of cars on the bridge behind her, louder, then fading as each one crossed the bridge's metal grating. she could hear the higher noise of the approaching bicycle, tires humming on pavement, and there was something else. It was a voice, soft, low, and calm, as if spoken inside her head. "Not yet," it said. "Not yet." She hiccuped again, hysteria winning momentarily over sorrow. Great! She was seeing things now. Mental delusions. She remembered the term from counseling sessions, overheard therapists conferring. Mental delusions, indeed. It was probably just her survival instinct making an imaginative showing to keep her from offing herself here and now. She gripped the toothbrush tighter in her hand and set to scrubbing the floor with more willpower. It was funny, really. Her parents had raised her surrounded by the magical world of theater. Illusions made real. Costumes, lights, two-dimensional set pieces, exaggerated makeup, and voices projected to be heard in the back row. Love, joy, hatred, anger, confusion, yearning, all these and more had swirled around the seats where Pip sat, watching rehearsals, watching performances. Such deep and magical journeys, every one an illusion. Even the fighting was an illusion. She knew the mechanics of swordplay, the sweat, the fatigue, and yet a killing blow was never real on stage. So, of course, it made sense that in her time of greatest heartbreak, an illusion would appear to try to save her. Seeing movement out of the corner of her eye, Piper looked up and began to laugh. This time, it wasn't a well-dressed fairy king. This fairy was a slightly disheveled old woman. She had strawberry blonde pixie hair. She wore a short blue filmy dress, finished off with leggings and boots. But what really took the cake was her face. High cheekbones and cat-like sparkling blue eyes held an echo of what had once been stunning beauty. Now she was, well, she was ancient. She had to be 100 years old if she was a day. She was a tiny great-grandmother fairy, trying to look like she was still hip. Piper laughed until new tears came. It really was terribly funny. If nothing else, her mind had a heck of a sense of humor. She shook her head and bent to reapply herself to cleaning the floor. "And just what is so funny, may I ask?" The vision flushed and crossed her arms defensively. Hovering mid-air, the ancient fairy's wings thrummed like a hummingbird's. As gracefully and precisely as a ballerina, she settled onto the lip of a sink. Piper choked and coughed. She wiped her eyes and wiped them again. She shook her head and blinked, hard, trying to make the apparition disappear. It wouldn't. The great-grandmother fairy was still there. Cautious, Pip reached out a hand to touch it. When her finger brushed the soft blue cloth of the dress, the fairy jerked back. "Paws off, kid!" Pip froze, blinking. "You're real?" Her voice croaked, her throat still tight from emotion. "Who are you? Am I seeing things?" "Of course I'm real," the vision said. "I'm Belle, and you're coming with me to the Neverland." Piper just stared. The words seemed to take forever to enter her brain. When they did, they swirled around faster and faster like a dancing dervish. "The Neverland. You're coming with me to the Neverland." "Are you really a fairy?" Pip asked. Hope and doubt fought across her face. "The Neverland's one and only, formerly known as Tinkerbell. But you're too old to be Tinkerbell." The fairy snorted. "Long story. No time to tell you now. You've got to go." The fairy was real. She had come for her from the Neverland. She would take her to her parents, and they'd all live happily ever after. Magic existed, after all, just as she'd been brought up to believe. Relief poured through her limbs. She hadn't dreamed that night when her parents were taken. It had been real. The pirate, the ship, the dragon, all real. But why, oh, why had it taken this fairy 5 years to come for her? Joy took a jump and a twist, and suddenly Piper was steaming mad. "It's about time," she growled. "What the heck took you so long? You could have come ages ago." The fairy flinched, then flashed back. "You think you're all I've had to think about? I'm here now, so now is when we go." The old fairy's color was still high. "Unless you don't have it in you, in which case I'll be on my way." She flounced into the air and sped toward the high open window. "Wait!" Pip cried. Panic gripped like a fist. She was so close, so close. And now she'd gone and said the wrong thing. She was going to miss this once-in-a-lifetime chance completely. She swallowed, throat gone dry. "Please," her voice came out in a rasp. The fairy turned, one hand on top of the inward-tilting window. She stared at Pip. She looked angry and suspicious. "I'm sorry," Pip hurried on. I don't know anything about it. You're right. I really want to go. Please, take me with you." The fairy nodded once. She hummed back to her sink perch, radiating dislike. Piper stared, hardly daring to breathe. "I can come?" Great-grandmother Tinkerbell, if that's who she was, shrugged. "How fast can you be ready?" Pip let out the breath she'd been holding. "Oh, can the other girls come?" She didn't know why she'd ask that. It wasn't like they were her friends. "No," the fairy snapped. "And you can't tell them where you're going." She seemed flustered. She smoothed her little dress, then her hair. "It's against the rules," she said, lifting her chin. "They wouldn't believe me anyway." Pip levered herself to her feet, not caring when she upended the can of Comet. "I have to leave them a message, though. It wouldn't be right if I didn't." Old Tink raised an eyebrow and stared, imperious. Pip stood on tiptoe, reached into the medicine cabinet, and extracted a tube of lipstick. Opening it, she smiled at its bright red color. "Perfect." She wrote on the mirror, "I'll be back." The fairy looked at the lipstick message and made a derogatory noise. She switched her attention to Piper. "Can you sneak downstairs?" Piper looked at the old, winged old lady like she was crazy. "Do dogs like bones?" There was a nail file in the medicine cabinet. She could pick the bathroom lock easily. There were hairpins, too, for the lock on the cabinet under the stairs. She'd heard Fitch slam the door to the girls' room shut, so sneaking past them wouldn't be hard. "Okay, smarty pants," the fairy said. She narrowed her eyes and launched herself back toward the open window. Straddling the window's edge, she turned. "Meet me outside the front door," she said, and wriggled through. Belle perched on the outside lip of the foster home's front doorframe and waited. She clicked her nails, barely containing her anxiety. Seconds. Minutes. It felt like hours. Hope tugged. The child had shown some spirit at the end there. Perhaps there was a chance for the Neverland, but it was too soon to know. Right now, she just had to get this girl out of the house and into the air before it was too late, and it wasn't the foster mother she was worried about. Unable to resist, she zoomed above the rooftops, looking toward the Space Needle. Peter's daughter and her husband had lived with Piper only a few blocks from there. That was where Captain Littlejack and Sincarez had come for them 5 years ago. Since he didn't have a pan sensor like she did, that was where they would start looking for the heir he had missed. Sure enough, Even through the haze of fog, she saw the glow of fire and heard the wailing sirens speeding toward what had to be damage done by the black dragon. Her heart froze, then beat far too fast. He might not have a pan sensor, but Little Jack had a sixth sense when it came to her. It wouldn't take him very long to find her here, and with her, Peter's heir. Just when she turned to find a way inside to look for the child, the door burst open. Piper ran out, muddy green canvas backpack slung over her shoulders, a long red velour-wrapped package tied to the bottom. "Come on, fairy, whoever you are," she cried as she dashed away from the house. "Fitch is coming, and you better be quick." Summoning all her power, Belle peppered fairy dust over the girl. It was all she had, so it better be enough. Renewing her supply would take a few days. When you were a couple hundred years old, things just didn't work like they used to. Belle dove to the girl's eye level. "Think lovely, wonderful thoughts," she commanded. The girl stopped in her tracks and concentrated. The furrow in her brow deepened. "Wonderful thoughts, not angry thoughts!" Belle yanked the collar of the girl's sweatshirt to keep her moving. Frowning, the child tried again. Her eyes moved up as she imagined something. Nothing happened. She met Belle's eyes. Was that it? Was she doing it right? "Stop her!" The bad-haired foster mother hollered from the front steps. Lights blinked on in the adjacent houses. No time to lose. Belle dove again, this time to Piper's waist. The back belt loop would do. Grabbing hold, she took off, drawing the pixie-dusted child up through the air with her. The girl's gasp of wonder tickled Belle's fancy. No matter, the child was just a girl, and it wouldn't take much to amaze her. It still felt good. Belle steered in the direction that would take them farthest from Sinkaraz and Little Jack. She didn't think. Because the kid hung by a belt loop, she now faced the drama. "Look, a fire!" Pip called. "It's near the Space Needle, see it? The top is always outlined in lights." Silence as the child took it in. "Hey, I used to live over there," she cried. "I know," Belle muttered under her breath. "Believe me, I know." She changed her direction, seeking to distract the girl, as if the child's interest might draw the gaze of Sinkaraz, and with it that of Captain Littlejack. "Come on," Belle said. "Help me out here. Try the lovely thoughts again, will you?"